The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, September 13th, and we've got a lot of great things to talk about as always. Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends.
What just happened? No, we ain't letting that go, nigga. Is that a brain fart?
My brain's a little bit scrambled up right now. LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good.
And I'm Mike. My wife and I just ran a 5K this morning, and I am melting. My brain is, like, leaking down my shoulders right
that's
now.
That's 3 miles, though. You run a lot already, though, don't you?
I have not gone for a run of that length in quite some time. I swim more regularly, but since school started, I've not done anything for 2 weeks, and I was out late covering football the night before. I was eating pizza at the fucking halftime meal they give you, and then I overslept my alarm, and I was standing there looking at the mirror, and this morning I literally said to myself, the world's stupidest fucking man is about to go run a 5K. Like, what are you doing, idiot?
What made you do all of those things knowing you were going to run the next day, though, right? You know what I mean?
If you solve that, you save me some money on therapy, bro. I don't know. Why do people sabotage themselves? I don't know. I ate the pizza because it was there. I have that. I'll explain that.
I think there's an answer to it. Doing dumb shit is fun, bro. That's the problem. It. Dumb shit is always fun. You know what I mean? Fucking up be fun as hell, bro. I love fucking up until I got to deal with fucking up. You know what I mean? That's the problem, man.
That's why I don't drink. That's what I didn't tell Char about the pizza until we were at breakfast this morning after the 5K. And she looked at me and she was like, I'm so happy you never started drinking. She's like, you would have just gone right over the cliff, bro.
I told drinking her, is fun, dog.
Listen to me. I went up to the press box at halftime with my friends who were covering the game. There's pizza there. I was like, well, I'm running tomorrow. I'm not going to eat any pizza. They ate a slice of pizza, and I was like, oh, I'll have a slice of pizza. So we were talking. I ate the slice of pizza, and then I literally thought to myself, I didn't really even notice eating that slice of pizza, so it doesn't really count. Let me have a second slice of pizza.
You didn't notice? What do you mean?
We were just talking, and it was like, oh, shit, the pizza's gone. I didn't even enjoy it. You know what I mean? So I had a second slice of pizza, and then we're all standing around. We're about to go back down. I asked other Tyler, I said, is there any pizza left? And he said, it's just cheese. And I was like, well, I'm not going to eat any fucking cheese pizza. Like, I have morals. You know what I mean? But then we were going to walk down, and I was like, let me just grab one of these little cheese slices of pizza for the walk down.
The things we say to ourselves, convincing ourselves to do dumb shit, it's so embarrassing. We so easily fool ourselves. It's so easy, bro. You know what I'm saying? We're the smartest animals on the planet, and we're dumb as shit.
Bro. We're the only animals on the planet paying money for rent. You know what I mean?
Dog. Eating cheese pizza before a fucking 5K, nigga.
Try and explain to a lion that you have to work the whole day so that you can sleep at night. Like
why don't you just sleep, nigga? Yeah. Right. Why don't you just do what you want to do? You know what I mean? Like, dog. But yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, why do I, breaking it down? Why do I love to do like shit that I shouldn't be doing? And I was like, it's because it's fun. It's just that simple. And it doesn't take much to convince myself to do some shit that I probably shouldn't do. You know what I mean? Like, I ate like 12 cookies in one sitting. Like recently, I know I shouldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? I'm on a diet. You know what I mean? I got to do the Murph on Tuesday. You feel me? But it's, you know, eating cookies is fucking great. So fuck it.
What else do you have? I've never once gotten a full night of sleep before we had to get up early to travel. In my entire life. I've always stayed. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
I'm always up to like 2-3 in the morning packing and shit.
Oh, yeah.
A last minute motherfucker to the death, bro.
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah. Also, when I was a wild boy, man, when I was out here, didn't take much for me to do some wild shit. But we gonna move on from that. First topic of the day. Wild boy days, man. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Young Hurricane.
What'd you call me, Tyler? Young Whirlwind Romance.
Young Whirlwind Romance.
Right.
Young
right,
Gasolina right. and shit. Yeah,
Young Gasolina. Here, right. So,
all right, let's open up with our Booger Boy of the Week. We don't talk a lot of NFL on the Jenkins and podcast. Jenkins and Jones.
Good night. Boy, you made me sound like a white man. Good night. this motherfucker out here.
What's the name of the podcast again? Which one is this?
Jesus Christ, man. That's
we don't talk a lot about the NFL on the Jenkins and Jones podcast. But Urban Meyer's personality is a favorite pet topic of Tyler and mine's. So let me just read you a timeline. The Jacksonville Jaguars, which Urban Meyer is the coach of this year, are going to suck. The USC head coaching job appears that it is imminently about to open after USC got dog walked by Stanford last night. So Urban Meyer, who cannot quit a job without having had a mild cardiac episode, we wake up this morning and people were literally texting me last night that this was going to happen. We wake up this morning and the headline on CBS Sports is Urban Meyer era begins amid tumult and discord and Jaguars morale has already suffered. He's called unhinged in this story.
Unhinged.
And Tyler quote tweeted it and said, Urban's about to fake his death again.
It's coming. We know it's coming, bro. Listen, Jazz gonna start off like 2-6, 2-7, and this motherfucker's gonna have a fake heart attack, bro. And that's gonna be it for the Jaguars then. He gonna get on the phone with USC. He gonna be the USC coach next season. It's so funny to me how he got out of that Ohio State gig, right? Like right when the pressure was coming down on, you know, illegal recruiting practices and players taking money, Urban was just like, guys, I'm about to die. Bye. And this motherfucker skated like nothing happened, bro. This motherfucker low-key faked his own demise to get out of trouble. You gotta kind of admire it a bit if you're willing to go that far. Like, who wants to come down on a dude who, you know what I'm saying, who got heart issues and shit? So, you know, it's a good strategy that works.
It's
so
the second,
it might work again this time. We'll see.
It's the second time he did it. Yeah. He left Florida when they were about to catch sections on the same shit. Like, oh.
He's like Fred Sanford. Remember how Fred Sanford would fake his heart attacks? Like Georgia, I'm coming
to
the one. I'm coming to Georgia.
This is the big one.
This is the big one.
After consulting with my cardiologist, he says that the weather in a part of the country where there's no investigators would actually be better for my health. So I have to – actually, I'm calling you from the plane. I'm already on the way to a different part of the country. Sorry.
But, yeah, the USC is a way fucking better job than Jacksonville, bro. Like, I mean, I couldn't even blame him if he tries to get out of that shit. Way fucking better.
What's the money looking like? I know college coaches get cash the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's going to be interesting because they're going to have to spend some money to buy out Clay Helton. So, but it's good money. I mean, bro.
It's all good money, though.
This has been a running theme of it. What's the difference between $8 million and $10 million?
I know it's
$2 million, but it's not the same as the difference between $0 and $2 million.
Right. It's not our salary compared to, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, for sure.
All right. God bless, Urban. Wishing you the best.
Sending our condolences in advance for the fake heart attack, the fake pending heart attack on the way.
What's funny is he has the image of being like a, like he's respected by all the like conservative football fans. Like he's successfully maintained that image despite having a college football team with like Aaron Hernandez and an assortment of other wild boys on the team, right? Like he's actually Jerry Tarkanian, like undercover. You know what I mean? And he's just once the lights start shining, it's the old ticker is acting up.
The old ticker.
My old ticker. I got a weak ticker, you know. It doesn't hold up funny. To scrutiny.
It's funny because he's lying. So right. We are allowed to laugh at this.
Right.
Oh, shit. Okay. Our other candidate for Booger Boy of the Week is the top of the morning, which I know neither of you are fond of. Gentlemen.
I'm fond of it in a way that I don't think John is fond of it. I think it's hilarious. You know what I mean? I'm very much enjoying the memes. The top of the morning memes and shit. But yeah, I don't know what the fuck Kendrick's on. I mean, it's obviously was bullshitting. You know, let's not, you know, act like we're some serious hip hop purists who don't want rap to be fun. But it's just a fucking ridiculous 10 or 12 seconds of audio. Especially when you isolate that shit.
I laugh at it, but it's the goofiest shit. Like, it's like the nigga trying to be funny that's not funny to me. Which makes it funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, because I mean, like, when you hear it, like, when I first heard it, seriously, I'm like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then what, you know what really fucked me up? Is the hmm. Like, he thinks before saying the wild shit. Like, let's get this shit. Let's
get this shit.
Top of the morning. Why? That's, you know, like, it's just so goofy. And I don't want to start calling it stupid because I think that's a trigger word. I hate, you know what I'm saying? I hate when people say that shit. But, you know, but anyway. But, like, yeah, like, the shit is just, it's the goofiest shit. And niggas are saying, watch, that shit gonna go crazy live. Well, nigga, I'm at home. It's a fucking pandy. Okay? I'm at home, nigga. And this shit ain't going nowhere. I've been sitting the last 2 days just like, I just don't get it. You know, like, it's not. I mean, do you think it's, like, funny by itself? Like, by itself is funny without thinking of all the other weird shit around it. It's just weird.
I think the memes elevate it to hilarious because this was you some funny me? Fucking memes with it.
Yeah. The memes make it funny, but when you listen to it, it's like, what the fuck is this nigga on? Like, he's making fun of these niggas, but ends up making himself look goofy too. Like it's a
conundrum. It's quite the conundrum.
Quite the fucking conundrum, nigga. I'm like, dog, let's get this shit. But what's crazy is he does this in betwixt motherfucking Keem actually trying to rap. Like, so he says this weird shit. Keem tries to actually rap, and then he says weird shit again at the end. I'm like, where are we going with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, he repeats the fucking chorus or whatever the fuck, dog. That shit makes no sense to me. Like, it's terrible. It sounds bad. It's not funny. It's goofy as shit. The only thing that's funny is people being funny about it, making fun of it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is confusing to me because you are a top of the morning motherfucker. I thought this would be your anthem.
Right, though. Like, I mean, like, I'm repeating the fuck out of it at the crib. To be annoying.
Yes. I'm annoying the fuck out of my wife with that shit. Yes.
Top of the morning. Top of the morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm being extremely annoying with it. But it also annoys me. It's Baby Shark. It's Baby Shark. You know what I mean? It's that type of, you know what I'm saying, musicianship. I don't need that from fucking Kendrick.
I'm looking forward to Kendrick's cover of 1-877 Cars for Kids. You know what I mean? It made
me question, like, yo, like, what this nigga on? But what we really need to talk about is Keem's album. That's what we should talk about. Where Keem, like, dog, like, the first two albums, Die for My Bitch, which, as wild as it sounds, it's just as fun as it sounds. This album was hella fun. The album before that was fun as hell, too. I remember putting my little brother on this shit. He was like, well, who the fuck is this? I'm like, yo, this nigga's fire. This is about maybe two years ago, something like that. I'm like, bro, he had an album before this, too, that was fire, too. And then he comes, and he has all the eyes. He dropped that Family Ties shit. Everybody's fucking looking at him now. Like, okay, he's, you know, Kendrick's cousin. They got PG Lang, all this shit. And he dropped this fucking 6 out of 10 album, bro. This very, very mid fucking, you know what I'm saying, album. It's like, yo. And just stick to what you was. Why are you going this route with the singy ass Kanye shit when you could have really just talked your wild ass shit on albums and we would have enjoyed it? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we've had this discussion before about how we didn't understand how Baby Keem was bigger, given all his, you know, industry connects. He's Kendrick's cousin. He's got Drake cosigns. He got Travis Scott features, right? Like, we were like,
Wiz put me on 3 years ago. Wiz is the one that put me on. He was promoting him, too. Like, everybody was behind him.
Yeah, we're like, how is this kid not bigger with all these cosigns, all these connects? And Die For My Bitch was an amazing album. It was one of my favorite albums of that year. And then he just comes out and drops this shit. And it's like, bro, this ain't it. like, you know what I'm saying? Like this is not it, dog. Like, I ran through that shit on Friday night, and then I went right back to fucking Certified Lover Boy. Like, you know your shit mid when Drake got to be the fucking palate cleanser. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. I feel like Keem fumbled here, so.
I was on the track. I was doing my little 30. I'm trying to do 30 minutes of cardio for 30 days straight, right? So I'm on my doing my little cardio. I'm like, oh, I got this. Is the perfect. Come on. I'm just, nigga, I'm setting the fucking.
I eat Murphs for breakfast.
No, I don't. That shit's stupid with my ass. Anyway, so I'm fucking doing my little cardio and shit. This is a perfect time for a fucking Keem album. Like, you know what I'm saying? That shit gets you excited and all that shit. And I'm like probably 5 songs into this motherfucker. And I got my nose up like, this shit, P.U., this shit stinks. You know what I mean? And by the time it got to fucking, let's get this shit, I accidentally stopped riding my bike and looked at the phone like, is this the right album, nigga? Like, I'm like, I thought it switched to a different song. I'm like, there's no way. This sound like Kendrick, but it can't be, nigga. I refuse, nigga. Like, bro, that shit is bad, man. Like, I mean, the album as a whole, it's whatever. I listened to it the next day in the car. I'm like, maybe it's a location. I tried the car. It was in Trader Joe's. I finally just gave up on it, man. Like, I'm just like, but that, let's get this shit, bro.
You're saying Keem did not get this shit? Your guys' opinion.
Top of the morning.
This was a bottom of the morning album.
indeed.
Bottom of the morning. Christ,
middle of the morning.
Were y'all not excited about this album coming though?
I was. I definitely was. I've been excited about New Keem since, you know, Die For My Bitch dropped in. I mean, I don't know what else to say, man.
It made me feel old. It made me feel old. I'm like, Keem, because Keem, really, yo, Keem don't really make bad songs. Like, I think, like, his last two albums, I think I've enjoyed damn near every fucking song. So I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, like, it made me feel like how Cardi, when I listen to the new Cardi, I'm like, am I at that point where, like, I'm too old to enjoy this young nigga shit? Because I thought, you know what I'm saying, Die Lit was a classic to me. Dead ass. I'm not joking or none of it. I love Die Lit. So I'm listening to them joints. I'm like, what the fuck? But no, like, getting online and realizing that people just aren't really fucking with it. It's just not as good as we thought it would be. But, I mean, he's good. He'll get, you know, I think he'll turn it around next album and get back to his shit talking. But
it's all worth it for the clip of Homer kicking in Bart's door.
To wake going him eyeball up to eyeball with him, yeah.
that was great. See, that's
I honestly bet I've watched that video 200 times. Every time I watch it, I watch it 5 times. The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every game with same-game parlays. One of the things I love about betting on football is that I'm always finding new player or game props that I like. What's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. We've got the Ravens and the Raiders coming up on Monday Night Football tonight. Really excited for that game. I will be taking the Ravens. I will be taking the over, and I will be taking Josh Jacobs over on rushing yards. I always like picking against the Raiders because they've got so many crazy fans that I think that's usually a good value. And I always root for the overs because life is too short to do anything else. But same game parlay is not the only thing that's great about betting on the NFL with the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's also got fast payouts. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. It's America's number one sportsbook. And there's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Just sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J&J, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code JANJ. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let's talk about the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame class. Including Chris Webber, Ben Wallace, Chris Bosh, and old Professor Poopy Pants, Paul Pierce. What did you guys think of Paul Pierce saying that he was like, he might have been too edgy for the Hall of Fame? We didn't talk about this last week, but I was like, this was a Cam Newton-sized cap on that statement. It's just like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? Like, they don't keep people out of the Basketball Hall of Fame for smoking weed.
I feel like that quote from Pierce was like the perfect Paul Pierce quote, because, you know, he started off saying, y'all gonna, if they would have penalized me for smoking weed and having strippers, which isn't illegal, I'm a single man, and you got motherfuckers in the Hall of Fame who done way worse shit. I was like, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You should not have been penalized for that. Then he was like, if I wasn't first ballot, it would have been the biggest injustice in the history of the Hall of Fame. And I was like, okay, Paul, let's pump the brakes a bit here, bro. Like Chris Webber is right fucking there in your class, dude. You want to talk about injustices, right? Like he got in on his eighth year of eligibility. You know what I mean? He's fucking eighth ballot, and he was like, Chris Webber was a bad motherfucker, man. Let's just say that first and foremost. He had 9 years averaging 23-10-5, right? And he didn't get him just because he took some $100 handshakes at Michigan, some bullshit. So, I mean, stack, like, you know, there's just this whole crowd who would have rioted if Paul Pierce didn't go first ballot. Bro, no, we don't give a fuck about Paul Pierce, bro, at all that much.
It would have been shocking were he not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah. But I agree with you that it's all good. There's like, but the Basketball Hall of Fame is weird. You pointed this out in a Twitter argument about it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It is the basketball. So the college stuff counts. The high school stuff counts. Mm-hmm. I believe there's a high school coach in the Naismith Hall of Fame. So
homie from DeMath, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and so like. Yeah, I mean, given his significance in college on one of the more significant college teams in the history of the sport, it would have been like Chris Webber is absolutely a bigger shock to me that it took 8 fucking years for him to get in. But I don't know. I'm good for Paul, man. He tried to do in this speech these 9 teams that didn't draft me were my motivation the entire time. I don't know if this is just my view of the world, but I feel like that's so corny at this point, bro. Like,
I think that's Paul's such a just not interesting. He's not interesting. If somebody that interested you said that,
he is interesting. Like, went to Inglewood High School. He's an inner city dude. He survived an actual what I mean? He is
he
a really interesting
the
dude.
Fuck out of everybody when he opens his mouth.
It doesn't translate out of. Through a television, but that's the thing that's so crazy to me is like this dude is arguably one of, if not the best basketball players in California history. He's came out of Inglewood, achieved all this shit in Boston, won Boston over to an Inglewood, a black dude from Inglewood. You know what I mean? But he opens his mouth and it's just like, change the fucking channel. I honestly don't understand it. If you know people who've been around Paul Pierce, he's not an uninteresting dude. It just, there's a disconnect there that I don't understand.
Bro, that when Draymond flamed his ass up, you ain't Kobe, bro. Nigga, but trip off, it's Draymond that did that. Like the like a nigga that averages like 3-2 and you know what I mean, like
triple single.
It's and Draymond. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Draymond, the nigga that flamed you, Paul Pierce, who's one of the coldest scorers, you know what I'm saying, prior to the big three. You know what I'm saying? The team wasn't good, but he was incredible. You know what I'm saying, in those years. And like Draymond's the one that does your ass bad. Nobody gives a fuck about Paul Pierce, dog, for some reason. And so he said that, and it wasn't interesting because it was Paul Pierce. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah. you know, like you said, it's interesting how very few people give a fuck about Paul Pierce because he's the greatest post-Bird, you know, post-McHale Celtic since Bird and McHale and those
big
guys
facts.
Retired. And no one gives. I'm not saying he's the best player since then. I mean, I think KG's probably the best player to wear.
Yeah, greatest. I mean, yeah. He was,
but
yeah,
in his career there, yes.
Exactly.
He was there for
exactly.
How long? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like no one gives a fuck, bro. Like the Celtics are the, at worst, the second most followed team in all of the NBA. And no one gives a fuck about the second greatest, you know, about the greatest Celtics since Bird. It's just, it's.
What's going on?
What the hell was that?
That was the duck video.
Oh, that was the duck video.
What the fuck is going on today?
I forgot to silence my phone. Yo,
I
my
swear.
That's how uninteresting Paul Pierce is, bro. We look at duck videos while talking about him. But
no,
I mean, that's the point, though.
Right.
I was looking something else up about Paul Pierce, and the duck video was still
up,
playing.
Yeah.
It's my bad.
No, it's all good. It doesn't matter. We don't give a fuck. We don't give a fuck. At all, bro. But Jackson might. The grownest person on this pod. But yeah,
he's like, from Oakland and Inglewood. And he won over the city of Boston. And I don't give a fuck.
And you don't care. And you don't care, bro.
And he had a rivalry final series.
He beat
the Lakers.
Rivalry,
right. In history of basketball with his hometown team. And no one gave a fuck.
Nobody cares. You know what I mean? Like the third, fourth best player on the team flamed his ass up in his fucking, you know what I'm saying, retirement tour season. Ate his ass up. And that's what we care about most when it comes to Paul Pierce. That and the fact that he shit his pants in a game. Like this is what we talk about. Like the nigga wasn't putting up like incredible numbers throughout his career,
right?
Dude. We talk about him shitting his pants and a defensive player dogging his ass.
Right.
His
bro, he had a game 7 with Bron where Bron had 44 and he had 41. And we just want to talk about the poopy pants incident. Like that's way more interesting to a lot of
folks. He was giving Bron hell. You know what I'm saying? Before Bron turned the corner.
And
we talk about him shitting his pants.
11 times in the face, neck, and back, and had a bottle smashed over his head. He had to undergo lung surgery to survive and be able to breathe.
Didn't
he
play that same season?
The only player on his team who started all 82 games that season, and I hear his name and want to take a nap. I don't get it.
I didn't know all that happened to that dude.
Yeah, I did not know he got stabbed 11 times and a bottle broken over his head. Motherfuckers went Tom and Jerry on that dude. God damn. Like, how you what the fuck?
The bottle had Acme written on it. Right? Dog, that shit. Shit, nigga. Goodness God gracious, damn. Dog.
That's we're glad you didn't die, Paul Pierce. We will say that much. We're happy you're here.
We don't
want to be malicious, but we love the poopy pants jokes more than talking about your career. I'm sorry, man. It's just how it is.
Well-deserving Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Glad he got in the Hall
ballot,
of Fame.
Definitely.
He should have been first ballot. No fucking question.
Did you guys watch any of the other speeches? You have any other thoughts on Weber or Bosch? I think it was 14-person class. Obviously, those four were
I'm glad Wallace got in.
Oh, for sure.
I'm glad Ben finally got in. No, Ben was a fucking dog, man. And I feel like because we know him as a defensive player, we don't realize how good he was at that. He was fucking insanely good at what he did and deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It should have took this long, so I'm happy for him. But
ridiculous. I didn't know. Four defensive player of the years in five seasons. Mm-hmm. Like,
come on, bro. Like, stop playing.
Like, he's He's one of those dudes who, if you just look at the box score and see, you know, he's like a 5-11 guy's career, you might be like, what's the big deal about this guy? Ben Wallace, during the early 2000s, he was one of those players who, as he went, so did the power shifts of the league go. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he was a dude who you know, went through the Kobe and Lakers, Kobe and Shaq Lakers to get a ring. He took Timmy and the Spurs 7, you know what I mean, in back-to-back seasons. He was he's one of the best defensive players we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to start valuing defense as much as we value offense, which we saw, you know, the tides kind of turning when Rahman got in. Rahman absolutely should have gotten in. And you know, now we're seeing Wallace get in. So, you know, with that said, a guy like Draymond is definitely going to be a shoo-in too, as he should be. So
I just think I like
the precedence that's being set with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Basketball Hall of Fame is not, you know, like, baseball does it the exact wrong way, in my opinion. It's run for the wrong reasons. It's set up the wrong way. The Basketball Hall of Fame is just a celebration of the sport. If you've heard of someone, if someone who's not a diehard basketball fan has heard of someone, chances are they're going to be a Hall of Famer, bro. And yeah. Ben Wallace, I think, was the only multiple Defensive Player of the Year honoree who was not in. And he does kind of close that. Like, every now and then those arguments come up on Twitter. It's the dumbest basketball conversation of, is Giannis already a Hall of Famer? Yes.
Absolutely.
He's already a Hall of... Like, like dudes who are Hall of Famers have basically clinched the Hall of Fame usually by the time they're 25, 26, bro. Like, it's once you've reached that level, you're going to end up in the Hall of Fame at some point. You know what I mean? So I was happy for Ben, too. I feel like, as the game has gotten more analytical and production oriented, the contributions that he made are less appreciated. I agree with Tyler. Like, defense, we don't look at defense the same way we do. I feel like when we were all growing up, the fact that Michael Jordan would score and try and lock down a team's best player, that was something everyone talked about and celebrated. Some of the best offensive players in the league are known liabilities on, like, just don't even attempt to play defense, and no one says anything about it. It's just, like, accepted that it's like, well, you know, someone's, you got to have help behind him because he's just going to let the dude blow by him or whatever. Yeah.
What were people telling themselves to keep Weber out for 8 fucking years? What excuses could you really make up for that? That is wild to me.
I think Weber is a victim of two things, of that timeout against North Carolina and the fact that he never eliminated the Lakers, you know, in the postseason. I think that's what people who aren't familiar with him think about. This is a guy who you know, choked in college and you know, couldn't get over the hump in the postseason in the NBA. But Weber was a dude.
He's a victim of having played in Sacramento.
Yeah, that too. Weber was a guy who pushed the boundaries. Like, when I was a kid, seeing a 6'10 power forward who could dribble like him, who could pass like him, you know, like back in fucking 93, 94, you didn't see fucking power forwards running the fast break and weaving through defenders going around the back and throwing no-look dimes. You know what I mean? Like, that's commonplace now. But in 93, 94, we didn't see that shit. Weber was, like, the only power forward doing that shit. Weber was a dude, I mean, Isaiah Thomas said himself, Weber was a dude who pushed the way that we define, you know, the power forward position, and he kind of started the stretch for a revolution in a sense.
Mm-hmm. It's just wild to think that. I mean, back in the day, like, to me, like, Weber was the fucking man watching him play.
Yeah.
And I know he didn't beat the fucking Lakers, but did you see that Lakers fucking team? They really had no business, challenging the Lakers in that way, you know what I'm saying, in those playoff series. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. They had a squad, too. Them niggas had a squad, dog. They had it. They had some. And Mike Bibby was putting up 30. Mike Bibby was eating. You know what I'm saying? Like, Stojakovic ass always nutted up. But, like, they had a squad. I don't know. But it was never Weber. They didn't lose because Weber didn't do what he was supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? He always showed up. And, you know, other than that moment in North Carolina, well, he was a rookie, right? He was a freshman, correct? Sophomore, yeah. So
the Lakers Kings series, the Tim Donaghy series, is the one sports thing that, like, I cannot. I have friends who are from Northern California who are Kings fans because it used to be that no one were Warriors fans in Northern California. You cannot joke about that. Lakers, the Lakers King series where the NBA was actively putting their finger on the, it's like, it's the rawest nerve in professional sports fandom. They're still like, hey man, shut the fuck up. Like, it's like, we don't joke about that shit.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them, bro. Yeah. I wasn't a fan of either team. And those, like, I felt as if I was. Those series were so intense. Basketball felt different back then. I don't want to be old. I don't want to sound like an old nigga, but those series were, those were different, bro. And the Lakers Spurs series were crazy as fuck too. Mm-hmm. Those series were always crazy.
Yeah. They were crazy, and it was crazy in Southern California. I've greatly enjoyed watching the Lakers' success recently, but with all due respect to the bubble championship, to the Kobe and Powell championships, like the Kobe Shaq Lakers era, basketball felt very different. And I don't feel like that was just because I was in Southern California. It was like, yeah, everyone was watching it.
Oh yeah.
Everyone was either furious or elated. No one was in the middle on that. Like, oh, I just want to see how Bron does tonight. Like, everyone had a passionate rooting interest in one direction.
You picked a side. You picked a side, dog. That was some gang shit. You feel me? You know what I mean? We was arguing in fucking Alabama over them fucking games, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, dog. That shit was some real. Those series were serious. So I get that. That makes sense.
A funny ass story about that. About that Lakers and Kings 2002 series that I'll never forget is that they said when the Lakers bus pulled out of Arco Arena that Shaq put his whole ass outside the window and mooned all the Kings fans out there. I could not imagine being a Kings fan, having my heart ripped out in a game 7, and I walk outside to my car and I see Shaq's big ass just driving by. I'd have been hot.
Bro, can you imagine how big that ass is? Like,
yeah, that's a huge ass.
Shaq is basically me with my arms all the way up. I'm 5'11". When I put my arms up, I'm probably like, you know what I'm saying, barely taller than Shaq. My fingertips. That
you put your arms up, you're probably half a foot shorter. You're probably still 5 inches
maybe,
shorter, bro.
Yeah, maybe.
He's got 15 inches on you.
Dog, like, I'm like, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big ass out of fucking window, nigga. That's a unmissable ass. You can't miss that ass when he put that motherfucker out the window, dog. Everybody saw that ass after they took that ass whooping, nigga. You know what I mean? Let's make this ass whooping literal. You know what I'm saying? Crazy.
Jumbotron crazy. Ass.
Jumbotron ass out of bus window. Sheesh. Driving through a city, man. Goodness gracious.
That's beautiful.
As a Lakers fan, it's beautiful.
Yeah. But I mean, don't you feel like if you were a Kings fan and you saw that, you would have to just, like, I know I was about to get back in my car, but now I need to go walk to the ticket office and just be like, cash me out for next year. I'm not coming back next year. Like,
yeah,
I'm
no
either
going
to be a Laker fan.
Yeah,
yeah. Either I'm a Lakers fan or basketball doesn't exist to me. But I can't do this again, bro. I spent however
cruel.
Much money in a whole year to get Shaquille O'Neal's asshole in my face in
that's
my parking
very,
lot.
That's very cruel. Like, the universe shouldn't have allowed him to have that thought. Because Shaq was going to, if he had the thought, he was going to put his ass in the window. That's the one nigga that shouldn't have had that thought. You know what I mean? Kobe might have thought it, but he didn't do it. The universe shouldn't allow Shaq to have that thought. But it did. That's how much it doesn't fuck with Sacramento. We gonna give this thought to Shaq and let him put his ass out the window in Sacramento, nigga. You feel me? Like, dog, that's cold. That's too cold. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
The universe isn't working for you at that point, nigga. You know what time it is. You know what I'm saying? Cash out and shake, nigga. Fuck it.
It's tough for the Kings because you don't have, if you live in like bummy ass Sacramento, you don't have anything at like, I'm going to go to Old Town and do something else. Like, you know what I mean? They don't really have anything
I mean,
else,
I didn't know like what Sacramento was until I drove to the Bay once, you know what I'm saying? It was like stopped in Sacramento for some reason. I forget why it was that. But anyway, it wasn't like my idea. I didn't want to, but we stopped and ate and I'm like, wow, like, this is where that team was at? You know, like, NBA players live here? I'm from St. Louis, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not from a big ass city, but I'm like, wow, like Sacramento really is kind of this shit weak as fuck, man. I hate to say it, nigga. It's weak as fuck.
It's like the 19th best city in California, and it's the capital.
Behind Bakersfield.
It's more black people in Bakersfield than Sacramento at this point. I'd probably rather live in Bakersfield, sadly. And I am not a fan of Bakersfield. I actually accidentally started a beef with the city of Bakersfield Long Beach. Well, we covered Poly, and they went up and beat Bakersfield High School. Those are the two winningest programs in California history, Bakersfield High School and Poly. I rode the team bus up there. We pulled into town. They had it was on the news when the bus pulled into town into Sacramento, right? In Southern California, bro, no one gives a fuck about Poly football. It's the 90th most important sports team, right? They pull into fucking Bakersfield, and it's oh, we got to get them on the news and all this shit. And I tweeted a video of all the cameras out, and I was just like, it's a whole lot of attention for a high school football ass whooping, bro. And they came out, and I was like, and then I tweeted before the game, I was like, win or lose, at least Poly gets to go back to Long Beach. They don't have to live in Bakersfield.
Bro, he was asking for that heat.
He was yelling at me in the parking lot and shit.
Right, but they were yelling because they know it's trash. You know what I mean? Indiana shit, bro. Like when they was mad at me, it's because it was true.
Yeah,
it was true. You know what I mean?
The only thing about Bakersfield is it has a reputation of being a white hick town, and because it's affordable housing and there were jobs out there, there actually is a fairly significant black population of the city, and they do not appreciate the. You live in the fucking south of California comments. You know what I mean? They take that shit really personally. But I'm like, you live in Baco, bro. Like, I don't know that there's anything I can do for you. You know?
It gives me Slidell, Louisiana vibes. I'll say that when I be pulling through that motherfucker. I'll be like, and then also you pull up and it's like, and it's gone. You know what I mean? You be on the highway, you turn back, turn again, that motherfucker gone. It was a mirage in the desert, nigga. You know what I mean? Did Bakersfield ever happen for real? You know what I'm saying? Shit crazy.
And I'd take all those cities over Sacramento. So.
Oh, we really shit on people's cities it's kind of fucked up, nigga.
It is what it is. And we're not
funny though.
And we're not from, we're not from Paris or whatever, but Richmond. Yeah. Richmond's making progress. They got Robert E. Lee out of there.
Yeah, thank goodness. We got his hoe ass up out of here.
Fuck that.
Did they put a city there? Yeah, fuck that motherfucker.
Were people crying?
Crying tears of joy, maybe. I will say this about Richmond. We're at the point now where, you know, if you bring your ass out and you're trying to picket and protest against people coming down on the Confederacy and shit here, you're going to meet a crowd of motherfuckers who are going to tell you to take your weak ass home. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't always like that here. You know what I'm saying? There was always, you know, pro-Confederacy rallies and shit here. And those motherfuckers would just go about unbothered. But we reached a point now where these motherfuckers ain't having it, bro. Because the thing about downtown Richmond where all these statues are is that it's VCU is right there too, right? Mm. So it's a lot of college kids who are fired up about this shit. You know what I'm saying?
And they have the time. It's Thursday afternoon. I'm at the statue.
Right. My class was done at 1:20 p.m. today. I got time to get in a racist motherfucking space today. You know what I'm saying? At 4 p.m. when everyone else is working and shit. Right? So that's another thing too, is that it's a whole bunch of college kids who are bleeding out here and setting motherfuckers straight on that, and good for them. But yeah, you know, the city is happy as hell that shit is gone, and the motherfuckers who ain't happy about it know to shut the fuck up. So, progress, I guess.
That is progress. I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy for you, bro, because I remember you talking about that way back in the day about I love Richmond, but I'm literally driving past a statue, head of the Confederacy. What the fuck?
The biggest fucking statue of a Confederate, you know, a fucking Confederate monument in the fucking nation, which I did not know until all this shit went down. But that shit is huge. If y'all seen the pictures, that shit was fucking 80, 90 feet high, bro.
The base of it is huge. They showed the picture of the before and after they took it. And I was like, the base looks like a fucking monument. Without anything on top of it, it looks like a monument.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 Weak ass Robert E. Lee. Fuck that motherfucker, man.
Okay, last thing we're going to talk about, and I will tweet this video out for people to see if you have not seen it. There's two relevant animal videos to discuss. The first is, did you see the video of the lion getting jumped by the hyenas, and then the other lions came in and mopped up the hyenas?
Ooh, I saw that.
I saw that.
I saw that. Bro, gang shit, nigga. Yo, we be talking about this shit, bro, but it's really gang shit in the motherfucking wild, nigga. They didn't even question. Yeah, there was no like, no, no, I don't want to get binked up, you know. And hyenas have the strongest jaws in the fucking wild. It ain't the hyena bites you like they're. We talked about they're trying to tear the innards out your ass. You know what I mean? Right. Shit ain't sweet. It ain't like the nigga gonna get slept and get put on World Star, nigga. Your inside gonna be outside, nigga.
Well, you can't go to a hospital if he bites your leg in half either. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you're just never going to be able to walk again.
You know what I'm saying? You out here, you know, tripodding it for the rest of your shit. You feel me? You know what I mean? Like, and they didn't question it. Like, nigga, they jumped in there like, you know, fuck the mother niggas. Because, you know what I mean? Like, fucking jump in that bitch.
Listen, bro.
Got them whooping their ass.
I know there's no morality in nature, and you know what I'm saying? But I will say I am firmly on Team Lion side in the lion hyena gang war. I do not fuck with hyenas, bro.
At all. Like, at all.
Especially when they go after lions and shit, dog. Like, you know, fuck that. I'm Team Lion in this motherfucker.
I told y'all, man, the other day, I was like, I woke up at like 6:30 a.m. and was peeping some jaguar shit. And I think, like, yo. Jaguars the ones, bro. Jaguars the ones. We talked about that video where they jumped in there, grabbed jumped into a different habitat, jumped into the water, croc-infested water, to grab a croc, snatched it by his head, killed it, dragged it out the water, up a bank, up a fucking tree. Come on, bro. Who want anything again with that motherfucker? Hey, nigga, we cool. I don't want no problems with no motherfucking jaguars, nigga. I'm 6:30 in the morning looking at that shit like, God damn. It's like, you ain't got to do them like that, nigga. You feel me? Wildin', bro. They beautiful, too. Like, beautiful, majestic fucking animals, yo. Anyway, man, the wild is, woo, it's different out there, bro.
Whenever I see a video like the lion hyena one, I always have two thoughts, which is, I bet, like we are also animals. We just happen to have brains. Like, we are, though. Like, you know what I mean?
We are.
When they say we share 98% of our DNA with chimpanzees, like, I know there's people who disagree, who hear that, or, you know, and are like, what? But, like, if you think about taking a ball of clay, molding it into a chimpanzee or molding it into a person, you're doing 98% of the same shit. Right?
Aren't bonobo apes like one chromosome away from being like,
we're,
you know,
very
what I'm
closely related to these animals.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, my cat is very closely related biologically to a lion.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of me thinks, I bet it is more like this than we want to pretend that it is. But then it's also completely different than this. Like you're talking about the jaguar dragging a crocodile up the tree. We don't have any of that. You know what I mean?
What we got this comparing to, like, I mean, come on. Like, I mean, we talked about the jumping shit. You know what I mean? And I've talked about maybe the perception of, you know, what would happen in the wild when somebody pulled out the gun and shot somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. there's some, you know, but what is, I don't think there's a whole lot of similarities, bro. I don't. I think
how else do you explain the history of humanity, though? Like, we talk about cultural identities and we talk about morality and all this stuff, but is the history of humanity not just whoever has acquired the most power doing everything they can to exercise that power?
But lions aren't trying to be powerful. They just are.
But if they could hold a gun, they would be. You know what I mean?
I feel you. But the thing is, they attack because it's survival. We just doing it because we bored, nigga. Like, a nigga at the crib, like, I don't like these niggas because of their color. I don't like them because of this. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, we, nigga, I think that's totally, our existence is totally different. They do things for reasons that make way more sense. Like, we are the most nonsensical beings on the fucking planet, bro. We are weird. It doesn't make sense. You know, how is you going to explain motherfucking, let's get this shit. How are we gonna explain top of the morning, nigga? What? Elias is probably like, this nigga really listening to this shit. You think this is slap? This is the best rapper alive right now.
The Lion doesn't listen to any rap recorded after 1996. Right. Like boom, nigga. Bap rap only for right. a light.
Bitch, this was John Lauer. You know what I'm saying? Like, dog, no, but I think we're the most nonsensical beings. Like, I don't think it compares in most ways. You know what I mean?
I think humans, we definitely overcomplicate our existence, but I do think that you can probably, if you peel back the layers enough, the root of a lot of the, you know, terrible shit we do is kind
of, to survival.
You know, it's for survival. It's kind of the same rationale that, you know, animals do shit that they need to do for survival. Like, you know, wolves are extremely territorial. If you step into another wolf's territory, that wolf pack will kill your ass because you can't come over here eating our fucking deer, bro. This is us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And like, you know, with like the colonialism and shit, motherfuckers exploiting other places for resources and shit. Like, you can kind of draw the similar parallels here. Like, it was kind of driven by like the same type of animalistic shit. You know what I mean?
I mean, it resulted in animalistic shit, but the reasoning was like they went to India because of all the seasonings and they wanted to steal their jewelry. You know what I'm saying? All, you know, like that, like, bro, like, all, you know, like, I don't know. Like, even like what they do to Africa and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, stealing all the natural resources. That's not for survival. That's just for like money. That's for like power. You know what I'm saying? They're exploiting it for those reasons. So I don't know. Like,
that biological imperative is related to survival.
It's related in a way, but it doesn't. It's not for survival. Like, you will survive.
I agree. I agree with you that it's not. Yeah. I agree with you that it is not actually. But I do think that that's. It's the same. Like, have you've heard the Kurt Vonnegut Joseph Heller story that they're at a mm-mm. party. And
no.
Vonnegut points to a guy at the party and he goes, that guy has, you know, here we are, we're these two acclaimed authors, whatever. This dude's a hedge fund manager. He's made more money. He makes more money in a day than the two of us will ever make in our whole life. And Joseph Heller said, but I have something that he'll never have. And Vonnegut goes, what? And Joseph Heller says, enough. Right? Like, that's human beings. Like, if any of us had the ability, all three of us right now are sitting indoors with electricity, indoor plumbing, the internet, and air conditioning, right?
Mm-hmm.
99% of the history of humanity would have, like, the richest person on planet Earth did not have all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who are very poor who have those four things, right? Mm-hmm. But they feel like they're very poor. Or when I didn't have money, I felt like, but if you think of the history of everything, we do have enough, but that's just, it's not the way our brains evolve. Like, that's why we build cities. That's why we build cars. That's why we build cars that goes faster. Is the human brain can't be satisfied with enough. It's just not wired to do it. And so I do think that it's animal-like in that way. Like, I think it's the same thing as we talk about animal turkeys or pigs or whatever, eating until they kill themselves. You know what I mean? Like,
we're comparing ourselves with turkeys. And pigs are the dumbest fucking beings in the animal kingdom, not that aren't human. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we're still, you know, bottom rung.
Absolutely.
When it comes to our decision making for the most part, you know.
Watch the video of the hyenas and the lions. What rung do you think you're on in that?
You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, we.
I could write a book, you know?
Yeah. right. Get that motherfucker, get your ass beat. But I can write, bitch.
But I could write a book.
I know words like tenable, nigga.
I could grind up some seeds and paint red marks on the cave wall. I've got.
right.
Okay, the last thing we have to talk about, I mentioned there was two videos going around. This one, no one was getting their ass whooped in it, so it didn't go around as much as the lions and hyenas one. But they recorded in England a duck mimicking with freakish, eerie similarity the human voice, in that this duck said, "You bloody fool." Because he'd heard some old man who went to his duck pond saying that shit over and over again. And so the duck, as part of its mating ritual, where it's just making different noise, it says, "You bloody fool. You bloody fool. You bloody fool."
British accent and everything.
What the fuck? That creeped me the fuck out. Yeah. And that did make me feel like we're very low on the totem pole. Like, because languages basically are, that's what we have. like we have a developed language and ability to mm-hmm. communicate and stuff. And the duck was just, he sounded like Michael Myers or something. Like it sounded like a, you know, like a 70s, 80s horror movie, like mental patient. Like
Michael Myers. Michael Myers.
Michael Myers. Yeah, that shit was creepy as fuck. I think that animals mimicking human speech is impressive, but I'm curious to why the duck is saying that while mating. Like what? In what capacity was the human that he heard from? Like how did this duck associate that with a reward or something? You know what I mean? Was he saying this while he was feeding him or something? Or like that's what I'm curious about. Calling someone a bloody idiot or what, you ain't gonna get no ass like that, bro. Like you got to sweet talk the lady, you know what I'm saying? So
that's talk. Dirty talk. They mid stroke. You know what I mean? She wanted him to talk bad to her. You feel me? Bloody fool. That's all he had. You know what I mean? Shit, I don't know, man. That's wild, though. That's wild. I mean, to me, like imitation is interesting that they can do that, but if they're like actually communicating using that shit, that's what's wild to me.
I don't know, the mimicry is just so it was just very like uncanny. It was very something about it was very unsettling to me.
Sounded like a human voice. It's like you said, it sounded like a human voice. That was weird. It didn't sound like a duck imitating a human. It's like right. a human that was a little off, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So Tyler, to your point, maybe it's just because it was a unique noise that the duck figured out it could make. I mean, that's how 3-year-olds operate. You know what I mean? Like there's maybe some mental similarity there as someone who's lived with 3-year-olds.
But that's the beginning of something though. That's the beginning of something.
Right.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Are y'all familiar with the, with Alex, the African gray parrot?
No.
Like the smartest fucking animal that ever existed. I'm going to read something from his wiki. It was African gray parrot who they actually taught to speak and communicate with, and he, this parrot would, you know, use sentences and phrases and answer questions and pose questions, and he communicated the way humans communicated with humans. So it said Alex had a vocabulary of 100 words, but what was exceptional is that he appeared to have understanding of what he said. For example, when Alex was shown an object and asked about its shape, color, or material, he could label it correctly. He could describe a key as a key, no matter what its size or color, and could determine how the key was different from others. Looking at a mirror, he once said, "What color?" and learned gray after being told gray 6 times. This made him the first and only non-human animal to have ever asked a question, and an existential question at that. Apes who have been trained to use sign language have so far failed to ever ask a single question. That's an interesting fucking fact. Alex's ability to ask questions and to answer questions with his own questions at times is documented in numerous articles and interviews. That bird was smart as fuck.
Was that a defect? I'm wondering, like, is that something that could happen and then other animals, like, you know, and that become the norm for animals? Like, is that just a one-time type thing?
They put a lot of work in with this parrot. You know what I mean? Okay. They reared it from when it was a hatchling to when it passed at like 25 years old. So okay. I don't think this is something that will naturally occur in the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they realized that this bird was, you know, abnormally intelligent and then started working with it due to that. And I'm wondering if that was
you thought it was Goodwill Hunting, but with the parrot. The Goodwill
Hunting parrot. That is the exact thing I thought it was. That is the perfect analogy, actually.
They're like, this bird is not just picking up the cubes of bread. He's actually arranging them into intricate patterns. We've got to get him into a gifted program.
Right. He was in tag, talented and gifted.
I'm very intrigued by the fact that as long as we've taught apes to sign, no ape has ever asked a question. Like, apes don't give a fuck about what humans got going on, and good for them, man. Like, you know,
don't worry about
this boring ass existence humans live in. We do taxes and shit, bro. Like, stick to, you know, eating grapes and apricots and bananas and shit.
Have you seen apes at the zoo? Like, an ape at the zoo? Like, they are so, like, annoyed with our, like, I've seen, that's what makes me realize that, you know, we are closer than we would like to admit. I'll see very human reactions to how annoyed.
Like they roll their eyes and shit.
They'll be like this. Like, you know, I remember I saw a ape eating a banana, and he ducked off to a corner because he wanted some privacy to the banana. And two kids ran over like, yay, to like to, by the window to try to like tap on the window. And the look that he gave them kids was, God damn, I can't get a second of privacy. You know, he turned around and fucking walked off like, fuck. And I was like, everybody was like kind of laughing because like he walked away. But I'm looking at, I was like I gasped. Cause I'm like, that face was one of you. I could have made that face. Y'all have made that face before. You know what I mean? Like, shit was wild.
I think something that, like going back to the lion hyena video, something that I think about a lot is, it's about power to animals. It's about like the power and your size and your threat level and everything. So a gorilla talking to us must be like the way we meow at cats or we'll make dog noises at a dog, right? Like they don't see a human being and think, oh, this is an animal that has evolved beyond me. They think like, look at this little guy. He wants me to point to this rock. That's cute. You know, like,
but I think if you catch him in the wild, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember I said, yeah, that silverback.
Pull your arm right off.
accidentally like dragged a grown ass man, like 4 or 5 feet, like on some, let me show you what time it is real quick. Yeah. Y'all need to go back home, Bubba. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know he was filming. Did y'all see that? And yeah. He walked by him, grabbed his foot, and the man was like, like, oh, shit. You know what I mean?
I remember reading about Alex, the parrot I just told you about, and they said some days he would be in a bad mood and he would be difficult and he would purposely wrongly answer questions. Like they would ask him, you know, the color of a cherry and he would say like yellow or something. And then they said the next day he would apologize. Like that is fucking amazing to me, bro. I'm saying read up on Alex, the gray parrot. It is fucking intriguing.
I need a Planet of the Alex, the African gray parrot fucking trilogy tomorrow.
Yo, that was so wild. That's like,
crazy.
I want to cry. Like my eyes are wild. That's amazing. Jesus.
Yeah. I wonder if Alex, the gray parrot, would purposefully eat bad food the night before he had a 5K to sabotage himself. How developed was his consciousness? They're like, you got a big test tomorrow, Alex. And he was like, I'm going to stay up late playing video games tonight. If I don't try, I can't fail.
It might have been harder for him to persuade himself than it is for us to persuade ourselves, at least. I'll say that.
All right. This has been Jenkins and Jones. Thank you so much for listening to us. We'll be back on Thursday. As a reminder, one of the things we'll be doing, I want to talk about Marvel What If on Thursday's show. Because people have been asking us to talk about these last couple episodes. So we're going to do that. But we're also starting book 2 on the book club. It's Clint Smith's How the Word Is Passed. And we are reading through the end of the Angola prison chapter. It's the first 100 pages or so. So make sure you get that book. And check out the first 100 pages. If you're behind, obviously the podcast is still going to be there. But that's the book we're doing next. And we're going to read the first 100 pages or so. So we will see you on Thursday. Hope everyone has a great start to their week. You know?
Let's make it a good one, guys.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.